Go ahead and pray in the spirit. Lift your hands, lift your voices, and let's pray for a minute in the spirit. The glory is here. The glory is here. We are the revealers of the glory, manifesting the glory. Go ahead and pray. Sapratike parandos, saprakapalagata paratos, sapreke paratos, saprende belega parutia. We arise and we shine, for our light is come, and the glory of God is risen upon us, risen upon us, risen upon our destiny. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, let your glory be made manifest through my life. Go ahead and pray. Let your glory, in this season where you are revealing your glory through men, allowing that river to flow through men, let my life be enlisted as one of those lives, those vessels through which your glory will flow. Someone make it a desperate prayer. Someone make it a desperate cry. Someone make it a desperate prayer, a desperate cry, that your glory will be revealed through my life. Your power will be made manifest through my life. No distractions. You are praying, you are crying from a heart that is desperate, a heart that is sincere. Someone pray. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The very powerful rendition by the worship team. It's important not just to dance over songs, but to listen to what the songs are saying first. Most times, believers just dance. It doesn't matter what is being said. Once the melody is pleasant, and there is a place for that. But don't forget that songs are also sermons. They are not just singing. They are speaking to your spirit. It's important to follow the words, follow the thought line, then receive it into your spirit. Then you rejoice over it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahweh, we worship.
That's just a song in my spirit.
Hallelujah. Yahweh, we worship.
You know the song?
Yahweh, 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 Yahweh.
Father, we are gathered tonight again because we love you, because we trust you, because every encounter with you is a life destiny defining encounter. And we pray in the name of Jesus that your spirit will find unrestrained access to our minds, our destinies, change what needs to be changed, remove what needs to be removed, bring in what needs to be brought in the name of Jesus. That at the end of tonight's service will be mightily imparted
to the glory of your name. You believe that? Shout a loud amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Good evening. Please be seated. Please be seated. Welcome to church. This is Koinonia. Blessings to all who are following us across the globe. It's always an honor to have you join, to have you connect. We are a very minute fraction as far as those who are listening to this teaching is concerned. Those following online are by far, they outnumber the people in this place together. And so it's important we let you know that we appreciate you. We're one big family learning together, growing together. And tonight the Lord will do you good in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Invite everyone around you. For those connecting online, it's time to learn the word of God. That means it's also time to receive of his grace. It's time to be enlightened. It's time to be imparted by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. Reverend Akila, always an honor having you. God bless you, sir. In the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. And all who have traveled from outside this city, we appreciate you. We're a house of honor, and this is not a ritual. We believe in people, we love people, we invest honor in people. It is one thing to be called, it's one thing to be anointed, but when God positions a people to believe in you and to invest their time, their participation, their loyalty, it's important to recognize and to appreciate. And so we do not take lightly all those who have come, particularly our first timers. I know that you were generously celebrated, but please allow me to appreciate all our first timers one more time. Let's give them a big God bless you. Give them a big God bless you. If you find yourself here, you were brought by God. Truly, no one comes on his own. It will look like you came on your own, or you came in honor to an invitation. But the way God designed this house, it's always a solemn assembly. If you find yourself here, you were called by God. And tonight may it be for you a feast of fat things. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me start tonight by, I was stirred in my heart while praying for tonight's meeting to do a quick recap from the teaching that we had last year. This is the message. It was strongly impressed upon my spirit to remind us again that every teaching that comes from this altar, every teaching that comes from this ministry is intended to address very specific areas of our lives. And it's very important that we understand this. The encounters that we have in this place is beyond the journey to being spiritual. It affects every aspect of our lives. And please allow me for a minute or two to remind you that we have about 7 levels of teachings that come from this altar. Number one is called the message of salvation. That means among the many teachings you would hear in this place are teachings that are designed to get the unsaved saved, or to give you intelligence as to the dynamics of salvation and the dynamics of redemption. No believer should be at a loss as to the entire dynamics of salvation. So the message of salvation is beyond just the preaching of the gospel to get an unsaved person to be saved. It also educates the believer to really appreciate what happened to you and to equip you with the knowledge to be able to administer salvation to another person. I personally believe that it is embarrassing if any believer has been in part of a flourishing word-based ministry for at least a year and cannot articulate himself or herself as touching the matters of salvation. You should be able to defend your faith. What happened to you, or what happens to a man when you get saved? Are we together? There's no one who has been seated under this grace for at least a year or two who should not at least be able to attempt a teaching or a discussion relating to salvation. So if I ask you, what does it mean for someone to be saved? What does it mean to encounter Jesus as Savior? I would be embarrassed, quite honestly, if you just say, well, I don't know, go and ask one of the leaders. No. You see, remember that the teaching ministry seeks to build, not impress. Seeks to build. Your lecturer does not come to impress you. Your lecturer comes to bring before you a body of knowledge that makes you become a doctor, an architect, or an engineer. Are we together? And so when I remind you of these things, it is my duty. This is a school. You are supposed to learn, and you should be so furnished with knowledge. Not just shouting amen, not just falling under the anointing. You should be equipped with the requisite level of spiritual knowledge. So anyone at all, you don't have to be a leader, that you have been under this grace, you should be able to explain the matters of salvation with intelligence. That a man comes to Jesus by the convicting power of the Spirit of God, and that verbalizing his lordship, believing that he's Savior over your life and destiny, receiving that life into your heart, are we together, by faith, then you receive the gifts that come with salvation. And I've taught you that there are three of them. Number one is the forgiveness of sin. Never forget this. When you get saved, when you come to Jesus at salvation, the first gift you receive is the forgiveness of sin. The second gift you receive is righteousness through faith. The nature of righteousness. The third gift you receive is eternal life. So you don't just receive life. The emphasis is usually on eternal life, the Zoe life. But it starts with the forgiveness of sin. If your sins are not forgiven, you cannot be declared righteous. And if you are not declared righteous, you cannot receive his life. So it starts with the forgiveness of sin. This is the theological progression of salvation. Forgiveness of sin, righteousness by faith, and then the life of God. Are we learning now? Very, very important. So that you can know who is saved and who is not saved. Number two, the message of transformation. The second kind of message that comes upon this altar is the message of transformation. I have taught you that when a believer comes to the faith, just because that person is a believer does not mean the person can manifest the riches of the life he or she has now received. That eternal life, the riches that are embedded in this Zoe life, they are released at the instance of knowledge. That means if you lack knowledge, you can be saved, and yet your experience will be the same as that of an unsaved person. Your authority will not manifest. Your decisions will not be superior. The supernatural life you have received will not be made manifest whatsoever. Because manifesting eternal life is knowledge dependent. And once the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your spirit at salvation, his next project is your mind. Your mind, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, the renewal of your mind. And it is a very prolonged project, because not every information in your mind is dangerous, so he cannot delete everything. It is going to be a careful work of many years of editing wrong information. And the reason why it is very difficult is because it depends on your yieldedness, not just his power. Are we together? For salvation, you did not participate in the actual process that led to that salvation. Yours is only to release your faith and receive it. But transformation, it is you and the Holy Spirit through the Word. This is why it is difficult. It means you can say, I am tired. Holy Spirit, this 1 month journey is enough for me like that. And he will have to respect you and make do with the level of renewal you have available. And so it will look like his power is very limited in your life, but it is because your lack of transformation will not allow much of him to find expression. Are we together? Yes. This is what distinguishes two believers. One saved, genuinely saved, but their possibilities can be east and west because of the space through transformation and renewal that they have given the Holy Spirit. So every message is my partnership with the Holy Spirit in that attempt to widen that gap again as far as transformation is concerned. Are we together? That you will be better transformed this week than you were last week. That means the power of God can flow better through your life this week than it was last week. That means you can experience the riches of eternal life in a more potent way this week than it was last week. It takes a long time because we have loyalty even to error. It is a human thing to be emotionally connected to anything that has been around you for a long time, even if it's a lie. Are we together? And so releasing that lie, leaving the certain in quote for the uncertain, is usually very difficult. Your entire life has been built around that philosophy. And when the Holy Spirit now comes through these teachings in their variety to deconstruct that faulty mindset, most times it is met with fierce rebellion. Even though you know that the Holy Spirit intends good for you, but to now give up this mindset, it's a journey that most people cannot even stand. And this is the reason why believers do not manifest the glory of God in experience over extended periods of time, because transformation is predicated upon trusting the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I am living a superior information for a higher one. I have all my life, my life has revolved around this information. Now the Word of God is telling you that information is wrong or limited or inferior. To now drop it and embrace something superior, it takes a lot. So the teachings come by the wisdom of the Spirit to give you a chance. It is the reason why they are repeated again and again in various forms, in various fashions, using various topics. The Holy Spirit is after your mind, after your mindset, after your belief system, hoping that you will give Him a chance through the Word to transform you. Number three, the message of empowerment. The believer is a good Christian, but may not be an effective witness. It takes beyond transformation to be an effective witness. You want to be an ambassador, you want to represent and defend the purposes of the kingdom, you will need more than transformation. You will need empowerment. And so there are teachings that come once and again from this altar, targeted at empowering us spiritually, showing us the keys that help men to have power with God. Hallelujah. Number four, the message of the supernatural. We are not just called to serve God. We are not just called to represent Him. We are called to manifest and validate the victory that is in Christ. We are not just called to tell the story. We are not just called to initiate people into that experience. We have been called by God to manifest the supernatural. Signs and wonders, miracles, breakthroughs, and then a life of victory. Acts 4:33 says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all, not upon the ministers in their midst, not upon the worship people in their midst, upon them all." The message of the supernatural. That means you would find through our teachings, messages that help you not just to access power, but the dynamics, the working dynamics of that power, so that you can experience victory, testimonies. Number five, the message of purpose. Upon this altar and through this ministry and through this apostleship, you will receive messages that build your life and build your consciousness as far as the matters of purpose and kingdom advance is concerned. Everybody has a purpose in Christ. Everybody has a destiny. Everybody should be part of kingdom advance and societal transformation. I have taught you here that the Great Commission captures salvation for sinners, transformation for the saints, and then transformation for territories. God has called us to be witnesses, to be agents of change. Hallelujah. And so messages that deal with value, messages that deal with relationships, messages that deal with destiny, you would still find them upon this altar, building us not just to be spiritual, as it were, but also to be people who are purpose-driven. Are you learning already? Number six, the sixth kind of message you hear from this altar and through this apostleship is the message of unity and love. There is a unique investment of the Holy Spirit upon our lives to help bring believers, particularly the body of Christ, to attain a higher state of love and unity than we have attained so far. You would see this expressed in our attempt to bring balance to imbalances. You will see this expressed in our attempt to mend divides and to help galvanize misunderstandings. It is a mandate that God has given to foster unity and to foster love. It is very, very important, the message of love, the unity of faith, that we are always stronger together, better together, more effective together. Hallelujah. The seventh and final message you will hear from this altar is the message of lasting peace and fulfillment. Very important. Lasting peace and fulfillment. So in addition to spirituality, transformation, empowerment, purpose, unity, it is important to know that God is interested in your finding peace, lasting peace. God is interested in your finding fulfillment. This is where we cover teachings that deal with human relations, principles, leadership, prosperity, success, fulfillment, and then your eternal destiny, helping you to live a meaningful life. Messages like "What Seekest Thou?" Messages like "The Law of Seasons?" Messages like "Lessons from an Overcomer." All of these messages have been tailor-made by the wisdom of the Spirit to help us find lasting peace and fulfillment. Are we learning now? The reason why I'm saying this is because I owe you that responsibility, but this is also in a way mentorship. Don't build people haphazardly. It's important the people understand the sequence. It is impossible to hear any message on this altar that does not address one or more or all these in their varieties. What is this telling you? So that you will trust what you are hearing. That is not only the anointing that is responsible for what you are hearing. Vision is also involved in what you are hearing. That you are becoming something exact. Are we together? The messages that come here are not trial and error. What do you think they should hear today? You've not heard about giving and vow. Oh yeah? Turn to Genesis chapter 8, you know, and all of that. No. Leadership does not work that way. You don't build people haphazardly. I'm saying this so that you have a right to cross-check your growth against these indices. And if the curriculum is not covered, then you should not be here, because it means I'm wasting your time. Are we learning now? So that if they ask you, why do you come for Koinonia? You don't just say, I like Apostle. Or you don't just say, it's God that asked me to come. Yes, God asks you to come. But you can defend your understanding that in my coming, I have been taught along the lines of salvation, transformation, empowerment, purpose, and destiny. Are we learning now? Yes. You see, when you speak like that, it is a wiser way to invite someone to church than to tell the person, come to my church. You don't know what you are missing. Sit down there and don't grow. All those sentiments, no. When you market products, the greatest way to market is to tell the truth. You are not afraid if the product actually works. Are we together? If the product does not work, you will have to patch it and do a lot of things and tell lies. But if the product works, you will have the confidence to say, I guarantee you, taste of this product. Hallelujah. It is my commitment to make sure that the teachings that come week in, week out, cover these grounds. And there is so much, you know, sometimes I wish we had service every day, because based on what we have to cover versus the opportunity we have. There is so much. I know God has helped us to learn, but you believe me, there is still so much to learn. Some you have heard them, but you didn't get them. You are just aware. It has not entered your spirit because your result has not yet shown you have received it. So sometimes God will force me to repeat it again. It may not be new, but it's always fresh. Are we learning now? This is how you train people. So that at the end, when you step out as a witness, you will bring great glory to God and you will bring pride to us who have been used by God to mentor you. Because you will not disgrace both God and us. Are we together? As you speak, it will be clear that you've been greatly mentored. My life is confused. Somebody is meeting with you now. I don't know what to do with my life. In fact, I don't even know. I want to kill myself. You don't say, yeah, my brother, you are not the only one. All of us who want to kill us. No. If you speak like that, then you are not behaving like a mature child of God. You may be saved. You are not bringing validation to Jesus and then to this ministry. But you can help the brother to say, listen, my brother, I understand, but there can be a way out. Our destinies are framed by our understanding. What do you mean by that? No, my father is the reason why. When his colleagues were learning, where was he? Well, he's made his mistake. But the gift of time is God's proof to you that he's still interested. Oh, wow, I'm listening. Is it making sense what I'm saying now? I'm acting all this drama so that you understand what I'm saying. You're discussing with a person. Yes, the Bible says this and that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You need to culture what you're saying. You're calling yourself names. You are programming realities. Words are not empty. Is that true? Yes. What do you mean words are not empty? Let's go to scripture. Don't say I think. Don't say I know. The basis of the believer's proposition is the written word. So if you are talking to someone and say, my brother, they taught me. Just, are you going to listen? Or go to the scripture. If you don't know what is written, you will only be speaking head knowledge. You see, the moment you go to the Bible, you stop trying to defend anything. Because you are announcing what is written. When you don't bring it is written, you will have to go through the labor of defending. And you will transfer the pain to a pastor or a church. And trouble will come from there. But when you take people to scripture, it's the final bus stop. Any disagreement they have will be between the Bible and God. Are you learning now? Imagine that with what you know so far, you can literally look at someone and with intelligence, spiritual intelligence, know what is wrong with the person. Why does everybody hate me in this office? It's as if I'm not a Christian. And you can see the gaps. I have told you when doors close. Let's write a short exam. Every time doors close, what is responsible? Half. 50%. You didn't answer the question well. Dishonor to God. Dishonor to men. Dishonor to principles. One more time. Dishonor to God. Dishonor to men. Dishonor to principles. So you can know immediately. Why are they fighting this man? Yes, there may be an undertone of witchcraft and all of that. But they prey upon his dishonor. Deliverance is not the only thing that man needs. Because even if he's delivered, his bad attitude of dishonor towards his superior. He has not learned how to speak well. He said something bad and the boss had it. The boss is now dealing with him. What is the key? You see that now? You teach the man that this is the world of men. And all blessings come from God through men. You see that? That person is being delivered already. Next Sunday, they call you a pastor. Immediately. The Bible says they shall call you ministers of our God. When they are confused, they know who to run to. You are already scaling your influence in that organization. Because they now you have become a reference. Every time they are confused, every time they are making blind arguments, without any title, they come to you. The Bible says you shall be a repairer of the breach. It is part of your destiny. Lay your hands on your head and say, Lord, I want to be an exceptional witness. Go ahead and pray. I desire to be an exceptional witness, not just a church goer. not just a professing Christian. I desire to be an effective, exceptional witness, furnished by light, furnished by spiritual intelligence. Go ahead and pray. You're not wasting your time. Access to light. Taking away the haziness from my Christian experience, that I am a victorious believer and I can defend the faith with intelligence, with power, living an inspiring and a meaningful Christian adventure. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I hope this blessed you. Yes. This is the correct way to invite people to church. Don't just tell them, come. Why should I come? I'm busy. I can tell you this. ABC is what to expect. So you are not just inviting them, for instance. Their hearts are also prepared. They have an idea of what to receive. For the unsaved person, there is a package for you. For the person in need of transformation, there is a package for you designed by God. Are we together? For the person who is empowered, maybe a man of God, you are not necessarily ignorant, but yours is the grace and the empowerment to defend the truth you know. That is what you came for. There is also a package for you. That way you prepare your heart. When an impartation comes, for instance, if in the middle of my teaching, the Holy Spirit now begins to move me to release an anointing, you know He is doing it because of you. And you can receive. Hallelujah. Let's get to tonight's teaching. This is one of the side effects of passion. I can take on this appetizer and flog it out till it's night. It's good to eat well, even biologically. When you eat well, you stay well, you are healthy and you are happy. Is that not true? Thank you, Jesus. Tonight I'm teaching on the manifold grace of God. It's a very powerful teaching. The manifold grace of God. We want to contend tonight for greater exploits, greater witness as believers. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. I want to show you something very powerful about the grace of God and why an individual can be limited as far as your exploits in destiny and in the spirit is concerned, and others can make great progress in the spirit. By this teaching tonight, I'm praying that the grace and the anointing, the dimension of the spirit that is missing in your life, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that whilst you are listening, that grace from heaven will rest upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Spirit of the living God, help us tonight in Jesus' name.
Your grace, I'm nothing without you. Your grace shines on me. It's your grace. Your grace, I'm nothing without you. Grace, your grace shines on me.
1 Peter 4:10. Let's read together. 1 Peter 4:10. Media, are we ready? Let's go. As every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Very clearly here we see from scripture that the grace of God is multidimensional. And I'll define grace for you shortly, but just for you to know that the grace of God is multidimensional. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, the God of all grace, not the God of grace, the God of all grace, a summation of every dimension of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ, after ye have suffered a while, by those graces together, make you perfect, make you established, strengthen you, and settle you. But these four possibilities, perfection, establishment, strengthening, settlement, rest roundabout, is a product of all grace. Not just one dimension of grace. Are we learning now? Very important. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Is someone learning already? Is able to make all grace, not some grace, not a dimension, a department. All grace abound towards you, so that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. So it takes the manifestation of all grace to abound in every good work. Can I give you one more scripture? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. Grace is manifold. Grace is multidimensional. Let's read together. One, two, read. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. See that you abound in this grace also. In addition to the ones that you have, there are still some that are missing in your life. There are still some that are missing in your ministry. There are still some that are missing in your Christian experience. You are not bankrupt of grace, but there is not yet completion. So in addition to these other dimensions you have received, press, contend, don't settle. See that you abound in this grace also. See that you abound in this grace also. Grace is multidimensional. What is grace? Let me define for you what grace is. Grace, in simple terms, is supernatural empowerment. Supernatural empowerment. Supernatural empowerment. Every time we talk about grace or the grace of God, in very simple terms, we're talking about a supernatural empowerment, enablement by the Spirit of God that helps you function in the God class, that helps you manifest all the realities that are in the Christ. Are we learning already? So when we talk about grace, we're talking about divine or supernatural empowerment. We're talking about divine or supernatural endowment. It's a manifestation of the power of the Spirit upon a believer. It empowers you to be. It empowers you to do. Are we learning now? Now, theologically speaking, their grace is broadly in two categories. There are two major categories of grace. Number one is called saving grace. You may want to write that down for your knowledge. Number one, we are dealing with manifold grace, but let me just give you a theological background. That from a theological standpoint, the grace of God is expressed in two major dimensions. Number one is called the saving grace. The saving grace. This is very powerful. The saving grace. Is someone learning? Yes. The saving grace. This is the grace that is released upon an unbeliever that makes that believer to believe the gospel. Listen carefully. That believes the gospel is the empowerment that comes upon an unbeliever, granting that unbeliever access to even believe the gospel and to receive Jesus. Without this saving grace, no matter how powerful a sermon it is, it will not make any sense. Isn't it amazing? I was thinking through my notes, and I was thinking of the many evangelists that have walked upon the earth and the many crusades that have happened. Some have brought great harvest. Some have not brought as much harvest. And I'm wondering, what is the difference? I had to investigate Peter's sermon, the first recorded sermon after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I would not preach that kind of message. It didn't sound very coherent and coordinated, yet in the midst of it, 3,000 people came in one meeting. That means it was beyond the words. It was beyond the sermon. Are we together? There was a grace by the Spirit that was released upon the hearers. I'm saying this up front so that as you minister the word, as you teach, as you preach, especially to unbelievers, do not think it is just by the persuasion of your speech that they will come to Jesus. In fact, to be honest with you, there have been many crusades with mighty miracles, genuine miracles that happen. And yet, at the end of all those miracles, when an altar call is made, the number of people who come out relative to the signs and wonders, you would think because of those signs and wonders, people should flock to Jesus. But sometimes it's not like that. I've studied Billy Graham, for instance, and there were not many, in fact, I don't know any spectacular recorded miracles as we know, wheelchairs, you know, and so on and so forth. And you would see people sit down sometimes like they were dead as he was teaching. Very ordinary, very human, very simple, nothing charismatic, very intelligent, theological, philosophical. And when he was done, as he makes the altar call, you will literally know that there has to be a force that picks those people from their seats. It's called the saving grace. If you preach without the awareness that there is the saving grace released through your sermons, released through your examples, released through your altar call, you may speak so well and yet be disappointed. Everybody say saving grace. That is the grace that convicts. That is the grace that gives unbelievers an allowance to step forward, to come to Jesus at the point of salvation. I've had the honor of seeing that grace work. I've seen it work. I know it works. That by the time you preach and you draw people, sometimes you are tempted to say, did you understand what I just said? I'm not saying those who want to be healed. Amazing grace. Still remember? Now that's the part I don't like. Now we're not editing, you see. I know that those who wrote that song wrote it out of passion. They looked at their state without Jesus Christ. But as much as we hate how we were, I will not call myself a wretch. No. I will call myself what Jesus called me. Even when I was not saved, he didn't call me a wretch. He called me a harvest. I will choose to stay by his description. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that song, but for me, I have a right to edit it to suit my transformation. Are we learning? Thanksgiving to all. In fact, I prefer grace, grace. God's grace. Help me. Saving grace. The saving grace. Everyone here who is genuinely saved, I want you to know that that was the grace. Whether it was in your room, or it was here in Koinonia, or at a crusade ground, or some tracts were given to you, it didn't matter how you got saved. If at all you got to a point where you saw your sin and you saw the need for a savior, I'm telling you that between your former state and your now being a believer, that was the grace that was released. Everyone say saving grace. The next time you are preaching to someone, whether it's to one person or to a crowd of people, have it at the back of your mind that whilst I'm speaking, through the frailty of my communication, the limitations of my example, the simplicity of my presentation, that there is a grace that goes beyond what I'm saying. You believe that? So that you know that you are not alone. Whilst you are preaching, whilst you are speaking, there is the saving grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. How many men? All men. The grace that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. The second dimension of that grace, and this is where I want to dwell tonight for our discussion, is called the enabling grace. The enabling grace. The enabling grace. The first has to do with all men, believers or unbelievers, all together. Anyone at all who comes to Jesus is a beneficiary of that grace. But the second dimension of this grace is called the enabling grace. And I want you to listen very carefully. If you're a man of God here, I want you to listen. I want to show you a very powerful key to really rising in power. Power that shows. Hallelujah. Enabling grace. This is the supernatural empowerment of the Spirit. Supernatural empowerment of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul, what he called his thorn in the flesh. And he said unto me, this was the response of God to his issue. My grace is sufficient for thee. It says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ may rest upon me. One more scripture, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. The enabling grace. The enabling grace. I can do all things. I think I've said it here. It's a very, very arrogant statement if that statement is not completed. Do you know how many things are there to be done on earth? How does a man stand and speaks to a church? Paul is speaking to the church in Philippi. And then he says, I can do all things. I understand God can do all things. But you stand as a man and say, I can do all things. But then he says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. No wonder scripture says, by you I can run through a troop. It says, by my God I can leap over a wall. That means there are things that alone should not be done by ordinary men. But when this enabling grace comes upon you, and I'm praying for someone already in the name of Jesus, that the things you could not do, needed for your destiny, needed for the revelation of Jesus, the requisite grace for the next level, may it come upon you. The requisite grace for the next level, may it come upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Powerful scripture. 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. It says, but our sufficiency, our ability to always rise to the occasion, never disappointing. That when you see ordinary men producing extraordinary results, Paul here is defending the supernatural in men. He's saying we are not sufficient in ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Of God,
our sufficiencies of God. There is something we outsource from God that is responsible for the extraordinary results. Are we together? There's an enablement, an empowerment outsourced from God. Your life will command the extraordinary. Your life will command the extraordinary. I say it again to a believer, your life will command the extraordinary. That men will look at you and say, as a man of God, you are an ordinary man. Why are these kinds of results being produced? And you will tell them, there is an enabling grace. It comes by the Spirit upon ordinary men. But when it does come upon that ordinary man, you cease to be ordinary. Cease to be ordinary. You cease to be ordinary. You cease to be ordinary. Now please look up. The way God structured the kingdom, the way God structured the kingdom is such that for every result and every aspect of human living, every result you desire and every aspect of human living, listen please, the power of God, or what you call the grace of God, is the factor responsible for results. But it is not generic in its operation. This is something you need to learn. The grace of God is not generic. That means you can receive a grace, but that grace you have does not speak to every area of your life. Are we together now? It is the reason why it is called manifold. You can receive the grace for favor, for instance. You will prosper financially, but you will be surprised that no sick body will be healed from you, because the grace for favor will not automatically heal the sick, yet it is grace. An architect will not be given a surgical knife and allowed to go to the theater, even though that person is a degree holder or a master's holder or even a PhD holder. A professor in architecture will not automatically be granted access to a hospital. Are we together? Just because he's a professor, there is a department, there is a body of knowledge, and there is an area where his specialty works in. This is how grace is. So most believers do not know that grace is manifold. So they find themselves pressing along one dimension, and because the Bible says everyone who seeks finds, they will find grace in an area and excel in that area. But because other areas are bankrupt of grace, it says abound in this grace also. You find all kinds of lopsidedness in our Christian experience. For instance, you can receive the teaching grace, but the grace for performance is not there. And two of them were supposed to go hand in hand to make your witness powerful. But you receive an aspect of it. So your teaching is sound, theologically excellent, articulate, true, doctrinally balanced. But at the end of it, because the grace for performance is not there, you keep shouting amen, and at the end there are no testimonies. Are we together? Now, someone can receive a grace for signs and wonders, and because he did not receive the teaching grace, his administration of God's power looks like charm or herbal medicine, because there is no word base to give people an understanding. There is no frame. Are we together now? So you cannot deny the manifestation of power, but there is no growth, there is no understanding. Those who are receiving are still in doubt because the individual does not have the grace. I hope you know that it takes grace to find the scripture that explains what God is doing. If you think finding scripture is an issue of intellect, try it. Buy a Bible and find it. No. It is the Holy Spirit that connects truths to truths. That sometimes beyond your scope of learning, you can meditate all you can, but if that grace for revelation is not there, you will not know the kind of scripture to combine, because faith is built, and anything that is built requires intelligence. Are we together? If faith is built in people, you need to know the right scriptures that create convictions at which meeting. So you can say something that is true, but faith is not built in the people. Because the grace that helps you to combine those truths to create power and persuasion and release faith in the people is not there. If you are learning, say amen. So, there are several aspects of our lives. Leadership, ministry, the supernatural, family, parenting, every major aspect of human life. Let me tell you the truth. Once there is an opportunity to represent the Christ there, there will be need for a grace. There is a grace, a dimension of this empowerment from the Spirit. As a general rule, nobody can produce God's result to his satisfaction in the strength of the flesh. You will never be able to produce God's result, I repeat, to his satisfaction in the strength of the flesh. The challenge with many believers is because we do not know that the grace of God is manifold. Sometimes, because of the abundance of grace we enjoy in one area, it produces laxity, and we cannot press for the other dimensions of grace that are missing in other areas. Are we together? And so you find lopsidedness in our Christian experience, excelling in one area but being utterly defeated in another area. I have seen people who have the grace for teaching, for instance, even have the grace for leadership, but the grace called favor speaking across their lives and even finances is not there. There are those who don't have the grace for relationships. They are sincere people, but nobody wants to be their friend. Yet there are others who are not the best of people, yet if they enter a strange place, give them one day, they've made three friends. Not by lying, they don't even know what is responsible for that attraction. I'm telling you, it's a grace. If you carry that grace, man, even if two of your hands are empty, you will never return empty. That grace speaks. It causes people to behave to you in a certain way. Have you seen people like that? So you will see somebody well dressed with your tie and suit, and you see another person looking like, you know, somebody who is not responsible, and two of them will go somewhere and you'll find the CEO connecting with the other guy. So why are you looking shabby like this, sir? I was just not in the mood to dress well. Oh, I see, it looks like you are a Yoruba person. And the other person say, look at me. Oh dear. If you look at the physical alone, you will be cheated in life 1,000 times. I hope you are learning. The manifold grace of God. Now, when you see certain results happening in people consistently, it is because through the principles I'm going to be showing you, they have by mercy access this grace in the various areas as needed by their destinies. It is your assignment to stay with the Spirit of God. Listen, and it is your assignment under a teaching grace like this. My assignment is to show you the various aspects of your life that will be needed for destiny actualization, so that in prayer now, through knowledge, you can cry for grace. So if you find out, for instance, that God is calling you into ministry, there are certain graces that should be present in your life. The spirit of prayer and supplication, the grace for leadership and administration. Are we together? The grace for influence. These are the manifold graces that, if not there, you will see the direct consequence of not having that grace. Maybe this is explaining why a faithful Christian is not seeing results in other areas. Because for us, we are looking at grace as a generic thing. I have it. I fell down that other day. I received the grace called favor. It means I can organize a crusade. Where are the sick people? All of you come. Apostle, lay hands on me. What came on you that day? This is the reason why we speak every time. Because it's not the same thing resting on you. Are we learning now? Yes. It's not the same thing resting on you. Do you think Isaac had never laid hands on his sons? Do you think Isaac never touched them? The question is, why didn't that blessing he was talking about, why didn't it flow? If it was just about contact. Paul, Peter calls himself a steward of the manifold grace. The manifold, the many-sided, the multidimensional. The saving grace is one, but the enabling grace is scattered into various aspects of your life. The aspects of your life that are needed for life and godliness. Each and every one of them is grace dependent, empowerment dependent, and all of them function differently. Please look up. The way the grace for healing works is that it works with the hearing of faith, and that's it. When the grace for healing is upon you, it is activated every time there is a hearing of faith. Are we together now? So once the word of God comes, you perceive faith to be healed in the people, you can release that grace. But the grace, say, for prosperity and wealth does not work that way. The grace for prosperity and wealth, number one, it works upon your mind. I've taught you this. It transforms your thinking. Then it enables you to be productive. Then it translates to divine direction. You see that now? So just because you understand the working dynamics of the healing grace does not mean you can prosper, because their working dynamics are different. And then if you obtain, say for instance, the grace for influence cannot work until you understand leadership and relationships. If you don't understand leadership and relationships, you can shout amen to the grace for influence. You can have it, but you will never be able to lead anybody. The grace for wisdom and revelation is enhanced by meditation. If you receive the grace for wisdom and revelation and you don't sit down with the word to meditate, that grace cannot be released. Are you seeing how they all work now? So just because you shouted amen and you received a grace, it's important to know what you received and to know how to activate it. The manifold grace of God. So there are many believers who have not received these graces, or they have received it but they have not taught the dynamics, how the graces work. Today I can release upon you the grace for influence because I have taught you the dynamics. You know that influence is a combination of honor, relational principles, value. That grace can rest upon you and it is safe because there is an understanding that can activate it. When you carry that grace to an organization, in 3 months, you can become a leader there. Do you know why? Because you have what it takes to release the grace. The knowledge component to release that grace is there. If I go to a crusade ground, I don't need to be smart to heal. I don't need to be smart. All I need to carry is the genuine healing anointing, the grace for signs and wonders. And once there is an opportunity for faith to rise, either through worship or through the teaching of the word, once there is the hearing of faith, the power of God will be released there. And you will find people who are healed and tell you, I was doubting, even as at the time. You see that now? But when you want to transform people, it needs intelligence on your own part. You who carries the spirit of wisdom, are we together? You must also pray for the grace and the gift of utterance. Utterance. The teaching ministry depends on utterance. If you don't have utterance, you can know the truth, but you may not know how to communicate it in a way that profits your hearers. If you're following me, say amen. Amen. I have watched sometimes with pain in my heart, as many people who do not understand the spiritual dynamics, they remain limited in ministry, limited in their faith adventure, limited in ministry, limited in their faith adventure. Why then do we go for knowledge? Since it is grace that is really responsible for all the work, Why don't we just receive grace? Why do we keep learning and going under the labor of transformation? Are we together now? If that grace component is really the secret, then Apostle, why subject us through teachings and teachings? Why don't you just hold an impartation service? If you are tired, there are ministers here. Lay hands on them to lay hands on everybody and say, go and manifest. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. This is the major thing I want to teach you now. Because for many people, we are impartation conscious. That's why we keep falling and rising, shouting and rising, rolling and rising. And yet the results that follow that impartation is not at work in us. It's not like the impartation is a lie. But we have not learned the dynamics of activating this many-sided grace of God. Pray right now and say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. It's a new season. It's time to produce genuine results in ministry. It's time to produce genuine results in my Christian adventure. Someone go ahead and pray. Time to rise to a higher level of witness. In Jesus' name we pray. 2 Peter chapter 1, please, from verse 2 to 4. So number one, I said that the grace of God is his divine enablement, and that there are broadly two dimensions to that grace: the saving grace and the enabling grace. And that the enabling grace is broken into various kinds and various levels, that every possibility, every outcome in the kingdom is grace or empowerment dependent. Are we together? And that for every grace you receive, you must also understand the working dynamics, how that grace is released and how it operates. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, please, from verse 2. It says, grace and peace. Grace and peace. Look up, please. Be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. It says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want to show you very powerful principles right now, and I want you to please pay attention. I will show you how to receive the manifold grace of God, and I will also show you how to activate the workings of that grace. You will be very surprised that some of you, what you need is not more impartation. What you need is an orientation to know how to release the grace that you have received. That grace came upon your life 5 years ago. It's still resting there domiciled because you do not know how to activate it. And it will look like every miracle service or every impartation were a lie. Some of us even boast that truly, I am a carrier of so-so-so-and-so grace. And you are not lying. But the results connected to that grace have refused to speak in your life because you do not know how to activate it. Are you ready to learn now? The first key, I want to show you the keys now. The first key that is responsible for accessing the grace of God, any dimension of his grace, and it is also the first key to activating any grace you have received. Please listen. Responsible for both receiving any dimension of grace, whether the healing anointing, whether the anointing for wealth and abundance, the anointing for leadership, the grace for territorial influence, it doesn't matter what variety and what dimension that grace is. The first key is that you must contend for high-level spiritual illumination. High-level spiritual illumination. The Bible says, grace and peace is multiplied through knowledge. The knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge. Everybody write that down. High level spiritual illumination. The more spiritually enlightened you are, the more the grace of God is attracted to your life, multiplied in your life, and activated in your life. Please listen. Listen. Listen carefully. Koinonia, look at me. You will write, but let me have your attention. That means, show me two people in a meeting that I lay hands, for instance, on them, imparting the same grace. Are we together? Let's say the healing anointing. This man received that impartation, brother A. This man received the same impartation, brother B. Two of them. And I say, go. Go and be effective witnesses. You will be surprised that after 5 years, 6 years, one can have a flourishing global healing ministry, taking the healing power of Jesus to the nations. Are we together? Whereas the other person can be kept down, grounded, and may never, it's only by photo or old videos, you will know that he was in that healing meeting. And you said, my brother, you were there too. Yes, sir. Hands were laid on you. I even fell down. And you ask, okay, so what happened with that anointing? I will tell you the difference. One went to war with that grace by contending for light. Are we together? He went and wrote down all the scriptures he could find in the Bible about healing. He read all the stories. As he was priming his mind with light, he was giving more room for that grace to speak, as well as multiplying that grace. Because in the stories, there are different variations of how Jesus healed. In the stories of healing, there were questions that were asked Jesus. Why couldn't this demon leave? And he said, this kind goeth not, but by prayer and fasting. Who seen that this man was born blind? Now, these are things that the anointing, the impartation will not teach you. It's in the place of study you will see those variations. Because when you stand on the crusade ground, it's not only headaches that will come. There are sicknesses that can be caused by stress. There are sicknesses that are caused by a broken spirit. It's not a demonic attack. The person is depressed and broken and is affecting their physical body. The approach is different. There are certain sicknesses that as a result of prolonged demonic activities. The demons did not intend to make the person sick. They've only stayed in the person for a long time. So they ministered death to the person. The sickness was a byproduct of their presence for a long time. Remember, two of them have the healing anointing. But one will have an excelling healing ministry. And you are wondering, God, you are not being fair. How did you anoint this man so much? And when they ask that anointed man, who imparted upon you? He can say Joshua Selman. When they ask this our brother, who imparted you? He will also say Joshua Selman. So what is the difference? Light. Light. Many of you have received impartations that have refused to multiply and are not being activated because the responsibility of contending for light along the area of impartation, not just every area. The grace you believe you have received, you contend for light that activates and multiplies that grace. If I impart the grace for favor upon you and you just go and study on healing, the grace for favor will remain small and will remain inactive. Because healing scripture is not the scripture that activates the grace for favor. Are we learning now? Most believers think an impartation is the end of everything. They do not know that that seed that has been sown in you, you should go back home and nurture it. Today, by the privilege of God's grace, and I say this with all humility, we are able to hold large meetings, global meetings across the globe today. I know where that grace came from. That grace came from Reinhard Bonnke. I am a recipient of manifold graces. When you receive graces, it speaks. I was not the only one on that crusade ground by the grace of God. I know when it came. I would not dare to do the things I'm doing today. It's beyond having money. It's beyond having whatever I name. No. You cannot go across the globe. I saw Reinhard Bonnke. He left the US, came to Africa. Every African nation packed stadiums. Not just for the formality. And I said, no, there is a grace. If a frail man like this, beyond his speakings, when I stood at that crusade ground, I didn't go for entertainment. I knew what I desired. When it landed upon me, I went back to war upon it. I got the words of Jesus. I've studied every single crusade of Jesus in the Bible. I don't know how many times. Everybody say light. Don't fool yourself that just because you were under an anointed atmosphere, automatically that grace will speak. I'm showing you why impartations don't seem to work for many people in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You know how many videos of Reinhard Bonnke, of T.L. Osborne, of Maurice Cerullo? I have rare videos. Some of them I bought it. Are we together now? And I sat down. There were times I was not watching it for entertainment. I was watching it for connection. A spirit connection. What did these people receive? And you are soaking in your spirit. You may not get it the first day. You will listen to that sermon. There is still something. One day you will hear something only you will hear. That is the day something has rested on your life. Hallelujah. Are you learning now? You've heard my story. I didn't used to prophesy like this. I could speak over people. But to see and hear, no. It was in the night watching William Branham's message. I was looking and I said, look at this innocent man. People have accused him. People have said all kinds of things. Maybe the man made mistakes. So what? Not many people have his kind of compassion. I remember that night. It was not my first time watching it. And I just felt like it was like a cold sensation from my laptop. Literally as if a hand came out, rested upon my head, and it started going down. Over a period of 30 minutes, I was shaking quietly there. I said, what is this that is happening to me? It was a new dimension. But it came at the point of hunger. It came at the point of study. Is someone learning? I desired the grace for favor. I was searching for careers of it. Because I knew that my life without that grace... The word of God is there, but graces are distributed through the ministry of men. When I found a man, Dr. Mike Mudok, you see that? I saw the wisdom of God at work in him. I saw the manifestations of favor from the testimonies upon his life. And I said, Lord, I believe you have deposited something upon the life of this man. There were many people who knew him. Others ate with him. Others walked in his ministry. That was not my business. I was desirous of that grace. For 1 month, I was praying over the grace for favor with scriptures. When it landed, every devil in hell knew that that grace had come. Are we learning? The first way you attract, multiply. Listen, you attract, multiply and activate the manifold graces in their variety. Look, if you know what I'm teaching you, you will never go for any anointed meeting and return back and then your life does not change. You will not waste impartations again. And you will not need to go for a meeting twice to receive. Sometimes you may not have the opportunity to be under that grace twice. It may just be once. If I missed out on that encounter with Reinhard Bonnke, I never met him one-on-one, but I remember that first day. I stood on that crusade ground, I saw mighty miracles. Honestly, you would almost think they were stage managed. What sort of a thing is this? My heart desired it, not for the loss of... I was already a man of God, seeing a bit of miracles there. But I knew that with my level of miracles, you can't go to the nations that way. You will embarrass yourself and the name of the Lord. living epistles. Here was a man who exemplified dimensions that were possible for anyone hungry and desperate. By the second day, I made up my mind that I will not just come and stand here. I wanted to serve. I remember, you've heard my story. I came early. I was looking for something to do. Was not interested in being a man of God or whatever. I saw them wheeling those who had wheelchairs. They were wheeling them somewhere, and I pleaded. I said, please let me help and push the people there too. They said I was not trained. I wasn't part of the committee. I said, which committee? I traveled all the way with hunger. Committee? As I held the wheelchair and drove it forward, I was praying in tongues. I didn't even know who was seated there. Lord, this is how it will be in my own meeting soon. The Bible says, and without all contradiction, it's not human worship. The less is blessed of the greater. I stood there. You've heard my story. For 6 hours, I was standing. There was a pregnant woman close to me. Occasionally, the woman would be tired, you know, pray and lean on me. You know, I was tired too. I wanted to say, madam, what is all this one now again? But honestly, God sees my heart. My eyes were set like a flint. I was looking at this man as if nothing would distract me. In pain, hungry, but I stood with my heart open. I remember when he was done preaching, very simple message. He was taking a cup of water so that he would now minister the baptism and start healing. My hunger had reached the heavens. And that was when, I did not even know I was in a vision. I'm telling you, I saw a bird, giant bird, white silvery wings. It was not flapping the wings. It was just going round the entire crusade ground. And I was watching that bird and saying, what is this going on? This is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I was about to receive something. Something that will benefit my destiny, that will benefit my generation, that will bring glory to the name of the Lord. You see, Ba, don't disrespect people's sacrifices. As I'm speaking to you, I still remember this like yesterday. It was hovering round. I was lost in that crusade ground, even though I was in front. And the Spirit of God took me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And the Spirit of God hovered round the face of the waters. And that was where God told me the union between the movement of the Spirit and the spoken word is what produces a miracle. Do you know, as I came back to myself, I was back in the stage. I didn't even know I had turned. I rejoiced. I said, finally, something had entered my spirit. But I did not just go back saying, oh yeah, where are the sick people? I would be disappointed, because that impartation, as spectacular as it was a seed. I went back to open the Bible. Light, and he healed them all. Light. Matthew chapter 10 from verse 1. Matthew chapter 10 from verse 7. Matthew chapter 10 from verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Light. I was giving frame to that grace. He went about healing all they that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he may destroy. I didn't see so much of deliverance in Reinhard Bonnke's crusade. The man whose crusades I saw mighty deliverance was T.L. Osborne. I saw dimensions of grace. I didn't see too many creative miracles, but I saw it in T.L. Osborne's meetings. Genuine miracles. Is someone learning? I knew that there was a grace that commands the attention of people. It's a hear ye him anointing. I had seen that grace upon our Father in the Lord, Daddy Gio. I had seen that grace upon our father in the Lord, Bishop Oyedepo. No arguments, no stupid talk. If you don't have results, keep quiet. If you don't desire, stay with God. Pursuit. I remember when I returned from Canaan land, I didn't just get up and jump. No, I opened the Bible. Ah, that's when I found Mark chapter 1 and verse 37. And all the disciples came to him and they said, all men seek for thee. All men seek for thee. All men seek for thee. I saw a grace of influence upon Dr. Miles Munro. Strange influence. Influence with governmental powers. And not a man of God. Yet he was speaking at parliaments, speaking to people. And I knew that grace was needed in my life. That was when I found Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16. 17 and verse 6. And I will make you exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, every time you receive an impartation, that is not the time to brag and post yourself falling down, or post an anointed man laying hands on you. Posting does not activate the anointing. Go back and get relevant scriptures, except you want to be a herbalist. If it is by God and by the Spirit, go and sit down and get the word of God. What is the basis for your carrying favor? Apostle laid hands on me. No, sir. No, sir. I searched the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Now that I've received this grace, the grace for wisdom came from many people. But that grace for favor, I saw it on Dr. Mudok. I desired it with all my heart. Profound man with strange testimonies of favor. Others did not appreciate it. Others trivialized it like they trivialized every sacrifice of everyone in the body. But I pressed for it. I didn't want to do ministry and be suffering around, especially financially. I didn't want to tell lies and manipulate people. And I knew there was a way. Is someone learning? This is very powerful. Manifold grace. No matter what grace you receive, I'm telling you now, if you contend for light, sometimes my people come here to lead prayers and they share with you the various graces that are available in this house. Shouting amen is wonderful. Falling under the anointing is wonderful. But I am telling you, you will stay under that grace. Even if I tie my hands on your head and slip off and wake up, you will be surprised that your life will not work. Do you know why? Because it is light dependent. Someone shout light.
Light.
Shout again. Say light.
Light.
Can you show me the scriptures that support the healing anointing you carry? Can you show me the scriptures that support the ministry of Jesus you want to replicate? Can you show me the ministry that supports your being prosperous? Empty-handedness. Nothing is done in this ministry without scripture. No. The believer's life is bound to scripture. And the operations of God as revealed in scripture. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 21. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. You know it. And it shall come to pass that as ye go, ye shall not go empty. You see, one day I was in the place of meditation. When the Lord began to speak to me that there is such a grace for speed. And I said, speed? Who exemplifies that grace for speed? Well, if there's nobody, at least the Holy Ghost is here. And there were two scriptures that fired into my spirit. I remember Esther chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. Speed. That is a dimension of God's favor. Verse 9, please. Give it to us. The Bible says, and the maiden Esther pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her the things for her purification. That when men obtain favor, part of its expression is speed. Speed. Genesis chapter 27. Jacob, Isaac is about to bless his son, and Jacob pretends to be Esau. And he said, how is it that you have returned so quickly? He said, it's because the Lord had brought it unto me. So speed is a reality. Speed is a reality. Lord, I receive it. I contend for speed. Do you believe what you are hearing? Let me tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. The graces you have received, even from this house, is enough to have distinguished you. But many of us are not careful to attract, manage, multiply, and even activate it through light. I listen to every teaching that comes from here. It doesn't matter that I am the one who God is using. I listen to it because every communication of the Spirit has grace behind it. I listen to improve myself, but I also listen to receive. When it's a time to pray, it is not apostle listening to apostle. No, it is me, a believer, receiving from a man of God. Are we together? Yeah. Yesterday morning, I listened to last month's miracle service. All of the prayer and the prophetic words. God is my witness. I was on my knees from start to finish, shouting amen with all my heart to every prophetic word that came. Look, results are not, don't doubt, if you are not working it, then don't blame God for it not working in your life. You must activate this thing by light. Someone say light. Shout again, say light. Please be a student of scripture. Don't just shout around saying, I know this one, that the Geo laid hands on me. I even sat down in his car. Bishop Oedeko, I met him somewhere. He laid hands on me. When I was coming, Papa Kumu, he laid hands on me. This one laid hands on me. Thank God for that. But men will only turn to idols in your life if you don't support your impartation with scripture. Are we together? Let me tell you the truth. Everything that is not working in your life, it is because the grace for it is not there, or the grace for it is not yet activated. And the number one diagnosis, like you are learning tonight, is light along the area of that grace, the grace you desire. If you are broke and finances is not working, don't argue and insult rich people. You are broke, you are broke. In Christ, you are not broke. But physically, financially, institutionally, as your account balances, you are broke there. Come to terms early and say, there is a way out. I need to get out of this shame and not keep giving excuses. If there is someone in my same Nigeria and God is exalting that person, Lord, I take responsibility. The blessing is upon me. I need to give evidence to it through my obedience. Go and get the right materials. As you are listening, light will come upon your spirit. And that grace may even be grace that is already there. Suddenly it is activated. And someone says, I've been looking for you for 5 years. Where are you? God said I should send you 10 million. And you receive that 10 million and say it's a lie. Then it happens again. Then it happens again. Then you know that the grace has truly come, and you know that the grace is working. Let me tell you the truth. Everything that is not yet working in your life can work if you want it. Can work if you want it. Can work if you want it. Can work. Favor, power, grace, influence, results can work if you want it. Koinonia, are we learning? Can work if you want it. Can walk if you want it. Can walk if you want it. I read a scripture about God anointing Jesus with the Spirit without measure. And I said, I read about Oral Roberts and the way he would lay hands on over 3,000 to 5,000 people one by one. And I said, well, I respect him and I thank God for the way God worked with him. But I don't have the grace to start laying hands on everybody one by one. You see, I may die young doing that, and I'm not ready for that kind of thing. But I now read the story of Moses, that from one place he stood, and the Spirit upon him fell on 70 people without him touching them one by one. I said, this is a dimension. It's still the ministry of the Spirit. It's the one your faith chooses. If I, if there is an opportunity for ease, why not? Then I also read about Jesus. He breathed on the people and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I said, that means there is a more efficient way of communicating spirit things. If you have an opportunity to lay hands, that's wonderful. But that you can speak from one point. But that grace was activated. It multiplies through light. Man of God, you are called into the healing ministry truly. You are called into the prophetic ministry truly. Have you studied the prophets in the Bible? Have you studied them? Don't just say a prophet laid hands on me. Have you studied the prophets in the Bible? There were ungodly prophets in the Bible. Prophets of Baal. There were godly prophets. Which one have you studied? How do you know the difference? How do you know a familiar spirit is not using you? Are we together? Businessman, you want the grace that builds. Have you studied the life of Solomon? Solomon built. Have you studied the life of Joseph? Joseph built. Have you studied the life of Joseph of Arimathea? He built. There were many people who built in the Bible. You have not activated that investment of the Spirit, that dimension of grace by light. I'm praying for you. Whatever is fighting your access to light, whatever is stopping you from having the discipline to sit down and study till light comes into your spirit, I command that resistance to leave you now. Do you know? Look at me. Let me tell you the truth. There are many believers today who don't even have a good Bible, whether electronically or otherwise. There are men of God who only have a Bible that was given to them as a gift. Some of the chapters are torn. Your respect for light determines the degree of grace that works for you. Your respect for light. Your respect for light. Your respect for light. Another person will not be submitting himself to scripture, laboring with prayer and fastings, and you are there watching movies from morning till night till forever, and you want to walk at the same level of grace. God is not mocked. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth. Are we together? You can sow to the spirit and of the spirit reap life everlasting. You can sow to the flesh and of the flesh reap corruption. By this teaching, God is telling someone, wake up. Don't be shouting and saying, I have a great destiny. You will wake up to make it happen. When you wake up, then you sit down. Open up scripture. Lord, you are sending me as a healing evangelist to the nations. So that I don't become a casualty to myself. What are the keys to the healing anointing? Get books. Healing the Sick. Charles and Francis Hunter. Books by T.L. Osborne. Books by veterans of healing. Not talkers of it. Men and women whose lives embodied authentic healing ministry. Stay with it. Camp with it. Camp with it. Until light breaks forth. And I tell you, one day, it is your own books that people will be drawing from. They will say, because of the spectacular investment upon this life, it is important that we come and read. It is important that we come and study. Many times people see me and say, Apostle, write books now, write books. And I tell them, wait, there is something I need to have to enrich what I want to write. I don't want to write nonsense. I want to write something that can bless a generation. That when we tell you this is a way God has used our life to show, you will walk on that way, on that path, and find life indeed. Spirit of revelation. I saw a lot of organizations suffer in terms of lack of help. And because at the infancy of ministry, I also suffered it. I said, no, it's not a good thing to be anointed and to be incapacitated financially. I told you, if you are incapacitated financially, you will steal, you will tell lies, and most likely you will compromise. And I didn't want any of the three.
And I said, Lord, there is a way out. I humble myself. I admit that I do not know. Nobody is born with knowledge. It is acquired by passion and pursuit. Transformation is not an inheritance. You don't inherit transformation. Everybody contends for it. And if there is something wrong with your mindset, if it is empty or you are wrong, you have wrong beliefs, you can change. For someone here, let me tell you, stop trying to learn everything in the Bible at once. Even if you're a man of God, take it one by one. You can dedicate the month of July. Since you see that the healing ministry is part of the requisite graces, the signature graces you will need, why don't you camp with the healing ministry? Use the month of July. Your personal study should be the healing ministry of the Spirit. Get materials. Get videos. Get scriptures. Study. As you invest yourself studying, something will come upon you. Light from heaven. One night you may be the only one studying, and God will show you a scripture nobody has seen, or not seen the way you are seeing it. And that becomes the anchor scripture for a global healing ministry. Who is God speaking to? Shamalando Skipa. Pray in the Spirit in 1 minute. Pray in the Spirit in 1 minute. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Pray in the Spirit in 1 minute. Shapalaka parako sabaretama. Shalemara sobande. The manifold grace of God. Attracted. Multiplying. Established in your life. By your contention for illumination. Contend for it. Contend for it. Contend for light. Contend for light. In the name of Jesus. Number two. The second way we attract, we multiply, and we activate the manifold graces is by the investment of quality time praying in the Spirit. Listen carefully. The investment of quality time praying in the Spirit is a very potent way of activating graces. Investment of quality time praying in the Spirit. Not just speaking scripture. It's wonderful. There is a place for that. But quality time praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, you activate graces, you multiply graces. This is true. It's not about fanatism. There are people who pray amiss, but I am telling you, within the boundary of understanding, when you learn to invest quality time praying in the Spirit, if you are in this place and you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of praying in tongues, tonight can be a chance for you. The prayer department is there. There are people in their variety who can minister to you. This is not about being a Pentecostal or charismatic. People have abused this tongue thing. It has become so irritating. People do not even want to delve around that area. There is a decent spiritual way of engaging the prayer language of the Spirit such that it profits you. Show me a man who knows how to pray in the Spirit and is willing to discipline himself. There is no gift of prayer. There is a grace for prayer and supplication. It only empowers you, but the energy comes from you. You will pray and pray with energy. You will feel it as you pray, but because of the joy that is set before you. You want to heal nations and you just want to stand up, speak one or two scripture, talk for 5 minutes and stand and tell people to stand up on a wheelchair? No, sir. All things are finished in Christ. But the price for alignment to receive it and make it work in your life, you will need to submit yourself for prayer. Submit yourself to prayer. Submit yourself to prayer. If you are a man of God here, let me charge you by the message of God. Obtain grace from God. Wake up in the night when others are snoring, for God's sake, for the sake of your destiny. If it is power with God you desire, wake up in the night and pray. Don't pray just to ease guilt. Don't just pray to show people you are prayerful. No. pray. Something happens to you as you pray. There is an activation that happens as you pray. You see, what you see today is a cumulative of many years of consistency in prayer. It's not 2 weeks. It's not 1 year. It's not 10 years. It's not 15 years. It's a cumulative. Every time you go to pray, see yourself signing a register in the spirit. Joshua Selman, present your majesty. I'm here. Shamaka Paragata. No one is seeing you. Tomorrow again, Joshua Selman, present, obtaining grace from you as my commitment. I want to be such a host of your grace. Joshua Selman, next week, present, sir. Joshua Selman, present, sir. Come on. Your voice is known in the realm of the spirit. As you shout that present, demons are hearing too. As you are shouting present, principalities are hearing. When you stand before men, you are not pretending. One shout, they know it's a familiar voice. They know the sound of that voice. And they know the power that that voice carries. They know the power. Pray in the spirit in 1 minute. Prayer. Fellowship with the spirit. Turning you to a sign and a wonder. A man of power in the spirit. A man of power in the spirit. Activating manifold graces. Activating manifold graces. Every grace you carry is prayer dependent for its activation. Every grace you carry, I don't care what dimension of grace, it is prayer dependent for its activation. The grace for favor, prayer dependent. The grace for influence, prayer dependent. Signs and wonders, prayer dependent. Wealth and abundance, prayer dependent. Take a minute and pray. Sign that register in the spirit. Building yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You want God to give you the keys of nations. You must submit yourself to prayer. My sister, submit yourself to prayer. My brother, submit yourself to prayer. Man of God, this laziness spiritually, you won't go far that way. Takes prayer. Someone pray. Someone pray. Someone pray. Someone pray. Alabaka parakata sabrakatesh. Rakata prakate balakate paros. Stewards of the manifold grace. Businessman pray. Businesswoman pray. Pray. Consistently pray. Consistently travail. Non-pretentiously pray. Worshipper, pray. Apostle, pray. Prophet, pray. Banker, pray. Politician, pray. Legal practitioner, pray. Shalakapat, Krapakata, Pratakapelakata, Baratos. Prayer with fastings. Pray. Prayer with dedications. Holding on to the altar. Generating power. Multiplying grace. Generating power, apostolic power, generating power, multiplying grace, activating manifold graces, manifold graces, manifold graces, until you become a sign and a wonder, a sign and a wonder,
until you embody favor, until you embody liftings, until you embody restoration. One more minute, you are praying. La malagabarato sabrakata balakata krakata barakata balakata rapata branda balakata braskatesh labratega barakato ebrakato pariata pas. Activate angels in prayer. Activate the hearts of men in prayer. Command possibilities in prayer. Rewrite your destiny in prayer. Define your possibilities in prayer. Change narratives in prayer. Build stamina in prayer. Sakata balakatash rakata prataka parakotos la branta barakata prakatos la grapaskata balaka pariakata. Tear down the walls of shame and reproach. Tear down the walls of human biases and limitations. Tear down the walls of sentiments and prejudices. Go ahead and pray. Satabaleka parukatas, grabadabalekatesh, skatabaleka parakatos, sotabalentes, ibratika baratus, skatabrentaka parakos, elabaratus kopredegeba, soprende parakos, leka pratika pa, ekra kataparakatos, sotabalekata prandaka parakatos. Badabalandas, Scabrata Badakata Barakotus. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. You see, let me tell you the truth. Many people talk about prayer, but I submit to you, very few people really understand prayer. Many people, it's a common thing in our world to talk about prayer, especially among ministers of the gospel. Chances are excellent if you don't talk about prayer, you may not be seen as a serious man of God. But very few people really understand the depth, the riches, the dimensions, and the possibilities that befall a man who gives himself to prayer. Non-pretentious, not to have a name, not just to have a good testimony before men. You can rewrite narratives in prayer. You can command possibilities in prayer. You can become a prophet in prayer. It doesn't matter what you had. If you take it to the place of prayer, a full stop becomes a comma. The moment you get to the place of prayer, full stop only remains full stop if you agree. No matter what the issue is, you take every full stop to the place of prayer, you can turn every full stop to a comma and add everything the word of God says should be added. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Number three. I'm hurrying up because we're going to do an impartation very quickly. You must receive something tonight. The manifold grace of God. How do you know the grace that is missing in your life? Either the grace, the dimension of grace that has not been received yet, or has not been activated yet.
because there is a limitation to the command of your results in that area. The limitations in your command of results is proof that the grace is either not there or it's not been activated. Listen again. How do I know? How do I test the presence or the absence of a grace? Either the grace is not there, has not been received. You are not even aware that there is such a grace to that dimension or to that degree. Or you have received it through impartation, but you have not been taught how to activate it, how to multiply it. Your command of results in that area remains stunted or completely absent. That is how you know a grace is not there. Apostle, nobody seems to favor me. I tell you by the integrity of God's word, it is because that grace has not come. Just because you shouted at a miracle service and fell down while shouting, the grace may have landed, but you did not war with it. You didn't activate it. How many of you know how a groundnut, when you, it's not, you don't pick the seeds like that. You have to break that shell and bring it out. So if I give you a bag full of groundnuts, are we together? I can give you that as a gift, but you are the one who will go through the labor of deshelling it. Am I right on that? The same thing with corn. When you pluck corn from the farm, it is not immediately edible. You have to peel it, then maybe roast it, or cook it, or whatever you want to do with it, or turn it into flour and serve. That one is your own responsibility. I want you to look at the various areas in your life before I give you the third key. The area of barrenness is the area of the absence of grace. The area where you have barrenness of results, believe me, it is the area where there is absence of grace, or you have not activated the grace you have received in that area. Some of you love God, but the one cancer destroying your Christian life is you are owing everybody because you are perpetually in lack and want. You have integrity, but this area of finances has disgraced you, embarrassed you, brought reproach. Why keep suffering for nothing when there is a grace that can answer in that area? Are we together now? The first thing is to admit that there is such a grace, and that grace is available in the economy of God, but not yet present in your life, or not yet activated in your life. There were graces that were not in my life years ago. I was still a Christian. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I knew the graces were not there. I had to admit with all humility that those graces were not there. Then to contend for those graces with understanding. And when they came, I knew they came. And now that I've learned how to activate and multiply them, mine is to obtain the doing grace, to keep working in keeping with the principles that sustain those graces. And there is no power in hell that corrupts the testimony of a man who has received these graces in ever-increasing dimension and has learned the dynamics of maintaining, activating, and multiplying it. Now, God is faithful. God is not just mighty. He is faithful. He has put these principles, and everyone who obeys these principles, you see that now? When you obey those principles in truth, the result speaks in your life. It speaks. So don't complain and say, this area is not working in my life. I am telling you, once you see a bankruptcy of results perpetually, there may be demonic things, but the chiefest explanation is that the grace connected to that result is not yet in your life, or is not yet activated in your life. When you know this, like Peter, you will become by mercy a steward of the manifold graces of God. So the wealth of your Christian experience becomes the result of your journey of picking the various graces that are needed for the profiting of your adventure. So here's how it starts. You got born again. Look at me. You got born again, empty, void of anything, full of the life of God. But that potential has not been released. As you journey through humility, you carry wisdom, you carry favor, you carry speed. Are we together? You carry influence. You carry the grace that activates the gift of men. By the time you are 5 years in the faith, you are not alone again. You have outsourced many mysterious graces. This is what defines the quality of your Christian experience. Someone will meet you and say, we were born again at the same time, but did you carry the same grace? Did you activate the same grace? If the answer is no, then that becomes the explanation to your stuntedness spiritually. Apostle, the ministry is not growing. I sympathize with you and I understand sincerely. But I can tell you by grace, by mercy, and by experience, there is a grace that is not at work in you, that is responsible for drawing men. That grace is called anakazo. It's a compelling power. It doesn't draw Nigerians, it draws men. Anywhere God gives a command, that grace answers. It doesn't matter where. Reinhard Bonnke carried it. T.L. Osborne carried it. Maurice Sorullo carried it. It didn't just work in Africa. It worked everywhere God sent them. When you carry it, it works for you anywhere. Within your territory, outside of your territory. You see, it will look like you are the center of attraction. But the truth is that you are not that spectacular as a person. It is the grace. The people who listen don't even know what is drawing them. But it is the grace. Let that grace lift and you will be surprised that as much as you believe you are spectacular, you are not that spectacular. It is the grace that amplifies you and makes you such an object of awe. This is the reason why when God does the things that he does, we are wise enough to give him glory, because our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It is of God who has made us able ministers, not of the letter but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. Are you ready for number three? The third key for receiving, multiplying, and even activating the manifold graces, listen carefully, is impartation from the stewards, the carriers of that grace. Impartation. Impartation. Not from everybody. Impartation. Not from every Christian. Impartation. Not from every man of God. Impartation. Not from everybody who wants to lay hands on you. Impartation from proven stewards of that grace. Impartation from proven stewards of that grace. The grace that you seek, the grace that you thirst for, the grace that you hunger for, that if added to your life, you will now abound in that grace also. It must be received from stewards who have that proven, that grace is been tested and it's been proven to be present with them. Hallelujah. As much as I'm an anointed man of God by the privilege of God's mercy, it is not every grace you need that I can impart upon you. I am on a journey myself to accessing certain superior graces that would be important for this ministry, for my life at a higher dimension tomorrow. Are we together now? This is the reason why God gave a distribution of graces across the body. There is nobody who single-handedly answers to all grace as an individual. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. And because the Holy Ghost lives in men, and he operates that grace through men dimensionally, you can benefit from all grace. You should benefit from all grace. But until you outsource those graces, when God calls you, because of the nature of your call, there are core graces, foundational graces that are connected to your call. But in addition, it is your responsibility through wisdom to outsource other dimensions of graces that are profitable for your own life and your Christian adventure, for your sake and the sake of those connected to you. When God called me, there were certain graces He gave me. Among them, favor was not part of them. Among them, speed was not part of them. Among them, influence was not part of them. There were graces that came answered at the point of my call. But the Spirit of God opened my eyes to see that God produced that limitation so that I will learn God on the journey to receiving those graces. Everything will not come at the beginning of your call. God will guide you. Something happens to you in pursuit of those graces. You will know God better. You will respect the formation of His economy better. If I had all the graces, I probably would not respect a Reinhard Bonnke. I probably would not respect the sacrifice of a T.L. Osborne. I probably would not respect the grace of a Bishop Oyedepo or Papa Iya Deboye. But because of that limitation, God opens your eyes to see possibilities that are on earth, but far beyond your current horizon. And then you pursue with hunger. You pursue with passion. You pursue without shame. Not human worship. Not self-worship. But it is how He works. He's invested in grace. His grace in men. They are called stewards of the manifold grace. Stewards, custodians, caretakers of the manifold grace. And when you seek and find, then you receive those graces. When God called me, the grace for long life was not part of it. But I knew that I needed to live long, not out of fear, but because the demands of my assignment and the people connected to me will need it. And I said I must take the responsibility of pressing. Pressing. And when I found that grace, I remember that time, I returned to Zaria in a hurry and I told my people I had received an impartation of that grace, supported by the truths of Scripture. Anyone can wish you long life, but only the person who has lived long can actually impart the grace for long life. Did you hear what I said? Anybody, I can speak to your life as a man of God and it will work. But the person you meet who is 100 years old, 120, if he says kneel down, kneel down. You can receive my prophecy later, but kneel down. 100 year old hands on your head, you are joking. Do you know how many things you need to survive to be 100 years old? And yet there are people on earth who are that old. And some of the people around them don't have the grace till the people die. They just know this man has lived long. Die now, let's share your assets. That's all they are seeing. Whereas someone else is saying God. And the man who is 100 years old was a soldier. That means he fought wars. And yet he did not die. He refused to die. Every time our father comes here, Daddy Onubogu, you see how I accord him a lot of respect. The man has lived long. He's about 86 now. The oldest that I know, I've met a number, quite a number. The people who prayed for me were about 100, and you've heard the story, 136. 36, 136. When the wife of the man said she wanted to pray for me again, I said, pray, oh, please pray. The mama led me to a room. She said I should come. We entered and she was showing me the photos of her husband. That was the husband of her youth. And when it was time to pray, we knelt down. The woman took off her shoes, placed her feet on the ground, and was shouting there for the next 15 minutes. What do you think I was doing? Amen. It must be so. Because I'm going to fly many times in this wicked world. It must be so. Because there are arrows that fly by day, noisome pestilences, the wickedness of men as you rise. That grace. But I did not just go back to say, well, I fold my hands, an old woman has prayed for me. It doesn't work that way. So you go to scripture. Are you seeing how it works now? What has the Bible said? Now that the grace has come, how do I activate it? I shall not die, but live and declare. That's why I'm living and declaring. If you are not living and declaring, you may receive that impartation and something will still happen to you. Number two, I choose life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's why you see, I said I would not call my name, myself, that thing in that hymn. Mm-mm. Because my words are not empty. I believe my words. So I will not be careless over it. Not words, my words. They are not empty. I know they carry power. That is the reason why I'm telling someone, you are blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say it upon you, you are blessed. I say you are lifted. I say helpers come to you. I say doors open for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I say it again, you are blessed. You are lifted. Helpers come to you. Oh, let ministry be easy for you. You access resources supernaturally. Please be seated. Impartation. Now look at me. How many of you know that right from Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1, 2 and 3, the Holy Ghost was already revealed? But do you know, in spite of his presence, every anointing that any man received in the Bible came through impartation. Over 80% of the anointings that men received in the Bible came by transference from man to man. And yet, the Holy Spirit is the custodian of God's power. Are we together? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, whether it's Joseph, whether it's Moses and Joshua, are we learning now? Whether it's Jesus and the disciples, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul calls them partakers of his grace. Partakers, not partakers of my power, partakers of my grace. Ye all are partakers of my grace. A man can drink of the grace that God has given another. Like you bring your candle and you can light that candle from another person's candle, and another one will not burn more or less. You will not even know which one lit one. That's how it works. That's how grace works. It is the reason why, from the abundance of that which we have received, we give freely. Because when you give freely, it does not deplete your own. No, it doesn't. If it depletes your own, you have stopped keeping the principles that fund that grace. It is not because you gave it that it depleted. The grace is inexhaustible, provided you walk in keeping with the factors that sustain, activate, and multiply that grace. Now, let me tell you something. Listen carefully. I've taught you that the greatest hindrance, and I want to say this, the greatest hindrance that I have learned from scripture that stops men from receiving impartations is the heart condition of the people. The heart condition of the people. But more importantly, a heart condition of dishonor. Please listen to me. Listen to me. We're about to pray. There's going to be a mighty impartation in this place now. The heart condition. Listen, please. It is one thing for you to have proximity to a grace, a vessel, a steward of this grace. But there are rules to drawing graces from people. Are we together now? Among them, chiefest among them, is your motif. Why do you want the grace? That question, why, must be answered. Why do you want to receive the grace for prosperity? Why do you want to receive the grace for signs and wonders?
Man of God, why do you want the grace for influence? Why do you want the grace for crusades to pack full stadiums and theaters? Why? If you cannot answer the question why, regardless who is around you and regardless whatever spiritual activity, I tell you, it is a major leakage in your spirit if you cannot answer the question why. When I stood at that crusade ground watching Reinhard Bonnke, God sees my heart. It was not just to make a name. I was not just seeking to be a powerful man of God. It was beyond power. As I looked at that crusade ground, I saw souls. I saw people in need. I have read many times that there are more people on earth and very few people, the percentage of Christians. I knew that God was looking for more laborers, and it would be an honor for me to be a more effective witness, a more effective laborer. Everything I have desired from God in my life today, everything, and I stand before God, may He forgive me if I'm lying. There is nothing I have desired from God today, or desired from vessels, stewards, that is just for personal gain, just to make a name. I want everybody to know that this man is anointed, or this man carries favor. Every time I pray, I ask the Lord to purge my motive, because I'm human. Who knows? When maybe these things can creep in. By next week, we are traveling to the nations, taking the saving, healing, transforming power of Jesus. To what end is that? Just to show that the ministry is expanding? No. Listen, you need to ask the Lord to purify your motive tonight. The reason why many, many people cannot receive impartation, with all due respect, the reason why there are many pastors' conferences you see across this nation and across Africa with sometimes jars of oil being laid on people, the reason why the percentage of those who receive versus the percentage of those who are there are so small is because in many cases, the motive of men is corrupt. From competition to wanting a name to looking for fame. And it's a very human thing. This is why you must cry to God and say, purify my heart. Search my heart. Why do I desire money? Is it to outshine others? To look down on others? To buy designers and say I'm a rich person? Why am I trusting God for influence? Why am I praying to be a captain over God's inheritance? Why do I want the healing anointing? So that they call you the next T.L. Osborne or the next Reinhard Bonnke. And after that, then what? Why are you desiring the grace for prayer and supplication? So that you earn the status of a prayer warrior. Why are you crying for the grace for revelation? So that you have respect to be sound in the word? No. Purify that motive. And then number two, you see, the motive part is between you and God. But honor is your own investment upon the vessel that carries that grace that you will receive. There are many people whose hearts are pure, but dishonor. Again, I will charge the body of Christ. We need to manage dishonor. It is the reason why there is a decline in transference of graces. Let's not allow the carriers of these graces to die and go with their graces and mantles because of sheer dishonor. Hallelujah. It is my conviction, based on the principle Jesus taught, that everyone who carries any potent grace should leave at least 12 of his kind by the time he's going. Based on the model Jesus showed us, there were 12 apostles, even though one was a son of perdition. But at least that model of 12, it is my personal belief that anyone, particularly ministry, that by the time you serve and you are living, everybody here and there can receive pieces of you. But people that you invest that grace, If you can stamp that investment of the Spirit upon your 12, then you have done a great job. But we hardly find that 12, as simple as it sounds. Mention 12 Reinhard Bonkers for me. Mention 12 T.L. Osborns. I'm not talking of staff who work with him. I mean people who embody that grace. Mention 12 Elishas for me. Only one. There were many sons of the prophet, but there was only one Elisha. Do you know that there were many other apostles? The Bible seems to be silent about their own exploits. Why did they become so silent like that? Why are we just talking of Peter, James, and John? What of the remaining? They were not notable enough. I know Bible history captures some of their exploits, but some of them were shockingly silent, yet mentored by Jesus. Let me tell you this. If God grants you grace to be under a very anointed man, your prayer every day should be, Lord, help me conquer dishonor and purify my heart. Are we together? Help me conquer dishonor and purify my heart. Till today, till tomorrow, every time God grants me the grace to stand before people who are higher carriers of grace than me, world over, my heart is panting to honor them. My eyes does not even care whether you say this one has limited, whatever, that is none of my business. My eyes is sent like a flint. There is treasure that is locked up within them. It is not human worship. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, if you never understand this, you will not rise, oh. You will not rise at all. You will be stunted shamefully. There were times before we started doing crusades to this degree, there were certain ministries, and I'm saying this not to brag, because I'm teaching you secrets. I would sow into certain ministries, sow into certain mighty meetings that did not even concern me, make sure that my seed was part of it, to honor Jesus and in honor to that grace. Our world today is full of people not doing anything and yet talking about people who are making waves for the kingdom. It is an attitude, if we don't change, we are going to go down the drain. A Billy Graham, a Reinhard Bonnke, who can speak over 20,000 people, 50,000 people, 10,000 people. It would be foolish to say crowd does not matter. You are joking. At a governmental level, when you hold a program of that magnitude, it registers the value of faith in nation building. There are certain decisions that can no longer be taken because there are evidences. You see, ignorance sometimes, is not a very good thing. You need to rise to certain levels of influence to know why God trusts men to make certain statements at a national and transcontinental level. It may not speak to mean people for want of word, but some of those events directly tell in houses of parliament. There are certain decisions that it will stop because there is influence enough to show the value of faith, that it is not a nuisance to civilization. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is that in your Bible? Because they came out of fire, it didn't lead to any crusade anywhere, but it affected the king directly. And a policy without consultation came out of that experience immediately. Daniel chapter 3, the two final verses before God promoting them. I can't remember, was it 30 or something? Look for the final two verses of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, I believe. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, watch this, as a result of that experience, sometimes when God empowers men to hold mighty meetings, this is what God is looking for. He's not just looking for the men alone. He's speaking to kings and institutions and the environment. I am still God, and that faith still carries value even in nation building. This is what Nebuchadnezzar did. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and has changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Next verse. It says, therefore, I make a decree. How did that decree come? Because of the exploits of the saints. I make a decree. How many of you know that from a global perspective, the world makes data-driven policies? Did you hear what I said? Data-driven policies. Whether for or against the church, there has to be data that shows. If you are going to say the church should be left unharmed within a territory, at a sentimental level, you say I'm a Christian, but at a governmental level, leaders lead by data-driven decisions. What is the ratio of believers within the territory? How has their conduct translated to transformation? This is the true idea of revival. Go and study everywhere that God moved across a territory. One of the reasons why the revival was sustained was because it got to those in power, and they used that influence with data-driven evidences. Evidences of transformation, evidences of rehabilitation, evidences of character and conduct as a result of the crusades. And it brought glory to the name of the Lord. No territory will be changed until there are great meetings that happen in honor of Jesus Christ with corresponding evidences, change in character, increase in moral values. Are we together? Crime rates reducing. Whether it is the Fiji Island, the Welsh Revival, the various islands across Europe, America, the Caribbean, everywhere, I have studied a number of revivals. At a national level, nobody takes revival serious until they have data-supported evidences of transformation from faith. So when you see God doing what He's doing, He's preserving a heritage for His name and preserving a heritage for our children and our children's children. I'm praying that there will never be a generation where there will be data proof that Christians are a nuisance in this territory. The reason is because they sampled 1 million armed robbers, and out of them, 500 of them are Christians. And they say, behold, look at it. Data driven evidence that the crusades are a waste of time. Based on this data, we cancel crusades in stadiums. This is how the governments work. I'm telling you how intelligence works at a policy level. It is because most believers are very nuclear and narrow in their thinking. They do not know how the purposes of God is established territorially. You do not go and speak the language of the Bible in parliament. You must understand the language of the Chaldeans and know how to present empirical evidence that Jesus is Lord. Are we together? If we seek to see nations transformed, we must trust God for grace. That it will be recorded that from the time this organization, this ministry, did this program or this crusade, or this sensitization workshop, crime rate has reduced by 50%. Prostitution has reduced by 25%. Data-driven evidences of the power of God. Let me tell you, body of Christ, sentiments will only recycle ourselves among ourselves. When we want to penetrate systems and structures, we need to transport the God life in a way that there can be data-driven evidences of the power of God. Data-driven evidences that it can be proven that everyone who gives his life to Christ and is mentored by a teaching priest, their attitude, their conduct positively increases by 70%. Data-driven evidences of the power of God. This is how societies are transformed. That way policies can be enacted non-emotionally that enthrones Jesus.
This is what Nebuchadnezzar did. It happened right in my presence as a king. I don't know who the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is, but I desire to make Babylon a great place. And the God who can deliver three people from fire, in my presence they demonstrated integrity. In my presence they demonstrated conviction. Even in the midst of fire, they still respected me as a king. Whoever is that God they serve, I want Babylon to serve that God. Therefore, I use my influence as King Nebuchadnezzar. I place a policy that anyone who talks against this God, they will be cut in pieces and their house will be a dunghill. Because from research, not a sermon, I have found that there is no other God who can deliver at this sort. By the time a mayor comes for a crusade, by the time the son of a president comes for a crusade with stage 4 cancer, and the doctors treating the person is there, and the person is healed, the machines testify. Come on now. The grace of God, listen, the grace of God is not supposed to end as a fanatic, a spiritual reality alone. It's supposed to find an expression in our world, here and now. Are we together? Here and now. It is the reason why we take advantage of that grace to do everything. Whether it is healing on one hand, whether it is medical services to the sick on one hand, whether it is giving to the poor and needy on one hand. If you now take koinonia to the government or the parliament and say, prove empirically that koinonia is valuable to the growth of Nigeria, Africa and the world. The people there do not need to be Christians. They just need to be reasonable and just people. The evidences will not be the shouting. Feel free to pick any 10 teachings. Examine the thoughts there. Feel free to look at the things that are happening. Listen, this is how nations are transformed. I'm saying this to you because if you want to see the name of Jesus get to the nations, take away sentiments. Take advantage of God's grace, but trust that that grace speaks to the needs of society. Right from infancy, when we started our crusades, there was always an expression of it that ministered to the poor and needy within the limited resources we had. Because we saw the ministry of Jesus. He taught, he prayed for the sick, but he said 5,000 people. Do you know what it means for 5,000 people to be missing in those days? The government will be saying, let's wait and see. And Jesus said, no, give them enough evidence to take to the powers that be. Sit down, let me feed them. Don't just tell them to go back with a sermon. Give them food. Imagine the women. You know women can celebrate. Thank God for Jesus, oh. And imagine one of the Pharisees saying, what is that? You people just sat down there and said, no. It's not only crusade. We ate. Look at two of my children rejoicing. What have you done since you became a Pharisee? May God empower you. I'm praying from the depth of my heart. May God empower you to be part of those that will bring evidence to the potency of the Christian faith. That when we are looking at data-driven facts and evidences as to why the name of the Lord should be allowed unhindered across the nations, that your contribution will be part of the reasons why the powers that be will allow the program of God unhindered. I pray that for you in the name of Jesus. Now we are going to pray, and I will speak an impartation upon your life. But for the next 2 minutes, I want you to look at every aspect of your Christian life. You know the areas where you've not been able to find the kind of results that should support your growth, your advancement. Maybe you are in ministry and the gifts of the Spirit are not at work in you. Maybe you are a leader and there's shared disloyalty among the people who work with you because that grace is not there. I want you, from the standpoint of this understanding, begin to pray and cry. Cry for the graces that you desire in your life available in God's economy. Pray. Let it be from the depth of your heart. For some wisdom, for some favor, for some power,
miraculous power, for some access to systems and structures, access to governmental authorities. Pray.
Nadauka kasunanka ubangiji kaisayabo nagirma masunanka ubangiji.
Are you praying?
Ninadauka kasunanka ubangiji kaisayabo nagirma masunanka ubangiji. Ninadauka kasunanka ubangiji kaisayabo nagirma masunanka ubangiji. We'll raise your banner high, we'll shine your light so bright, we'll sing in honor of you. We'll raise your banner high, we'll shine your light so bright, we'll sing in honor of you. Nadoka kasunanka ubangiji kaisayabo nagirma masunanka ubangiji.
One more time.
Ninadauka kasunanka ubangiji kaisayabo nagirma masunanka ubangiji.
Father, let me abound in this grace also. I have received the grace for prayer. Let the grace for revelation rest upon me. Let me not just be a prayer person. Access to the mysteries of the kingdom. Someone is praying. The grace for favor. I'm tired of struggling in my organization. Struggling in ministry. Struggling financially. Compromising here and there because of money. Go ahead and pray. Tired of stuntedness. Gifted, but limited, because the grace for influence is not there. The hear ye him anointing is not there. Someone pray. I make progress, but my progress is slow. Annoyingly slow. Lord, grant me the grace for speed. Someone pray. Pray passionately. Pray passionately. Pray passionately.
Ashalagabeka parakata parakatos.
The manifold grace of God at work in your life. The manifold grace of God. Financial grace. Leadership grace. Grace for prayer. Grace for revelation. Grace for influence. Activating the gifts of men. These are the graces that give you an edge in life and destiny. These are the graces that give you an edge in ministry. An edge in business. Seconds you are praying. 10 more seconds you are praying. 10 more seconds you are praying. Ten more seconds you are praying. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. While preparing for this teaching, I was not crying, but I found tears just running out of my eyes. And I began to think to myself, what if I did not know this? What if these graces were not found in my life?
I would have been such a frustrated man of God. I probably would have raised a frustrated people, lopsided in many ways. Maybe I would have been a man of prayer with no grace for revelation. There would be no growth and maturity. Or I would have been a man sound in revelation, but I would have downplayed the prayer ministry. Maybe I would not have been able to attract certain kinds of people, because the grace that brings kings, nobles, is not there. Maybe I never would have been able to bring the lost even. I would have preached all kinds of sermons. And after that, you make an altar call, and once in a while, somebody who is not sure will just stroll and come and stand and be laughing all through while you are saying he should recite the salvation prayer. I wonder how would have been able to fund some of these multi-million crusades across the globe with integrity, without putting pressure on people, with all due respect. You imagine if I had to come here now, this crusade is next week, and say, for instance, maybe we need $500,000 or $1 million, and announce, everybody, come, please come. The time you would have used learning this thing now would have been manipulation. Anybody who is blessed now becomes, you are suffering. You are even afraid of coming. You see how compromises start. The time to learn the word of God is now used for something else. Under pressure, I may start telling lies and prophesying something that God did not say. Not necessarily because I'm bad, but I have a bill, maybe extra $200,000, $300,000, and you are to meet it within 1 week. This is how good people become evil people. Not because they were always evil people. They rejected a grace that gave Satan an edge to their lives. I'm saying this to you because if it affected those who went ahead of you, it will affect you too if you don't pay attention. You may be a man of prayer, but the day you need $1 million for your children's school fees, you will be surprised if all it takes is to just sign that document, and only you and the director will know. You want to stand for righteousness, but you need the money. Your child's education is your business. And before you know it, you and your wife will agree and say, you know what, let's just sign this thing. And you will sign it, and for the rest of your life, your conscience will not leave you. But that is what happens. Why follow the way of perdition when there is a grace allocated for it? I'm about to speak over your life. I want you to receive this grace. Receive it. I know what it has done in my life. Receive it. I also received it. You're a man of God here. Receive it. Don't let pride allow you to suffer for nothing. You are following online, whether you're a man of God, with all due respect. Receive it. Add that grace to your ministry and watch what it becomes. Add that grace to your business. Add that grace to your finances. Yeshua HaMashiach, Kominana Kane. Yeshua HaMashiach, Kominana Kane. Yeshua HaMashiach, Kominana Kane. Yeshua HaMashiach, Kominana Kane. Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Jesus, I pray for anyone here. You have struggled with prayer. It's something you can't tell anyone, but every time you go to pray, you are sleeping, you are snoring, you watch people pray, generating power. But the truth is that that grace is not yet on your life. I pray for you right now, in the name of Jesus. Genuine, authentic grace for prayer, let it rest on you now. Let it rest on you now. Pastor, let it rest on you now. Businessman, let it rest on you now. The grace to wake up and pray. Pray yourself to greatness.
I release that grace upon you now. Number two, laziness over the study of scripture. There is no book you have brought that you've been able to read. You've not been able to read one book of the Bible. You are a sincere Christian. It's been a struggle. It's not by trying. Once that grace is not there, you will struggle. I pray for you. Passion for the word. May it consume you. May it consume you. May it consume you. May it consume you. In the name of Jesus Christ. The grace for signs and wonders, bringing evidence to your Christian walk. You're a man of God here, receive it. It takes power to give witness to the resurrection. I pray for you, fearful evidences of God's grace, striking testimonies. Begin to experience it in your life. Begin to experience it in ministry. Begin to experience it in your life. Extraordinary wonders, may it be rushed through your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. The grace that draws men, the gift of men. Please, everybody, receive this one, the gift of men, so that you don't struggle for nothing. There has to be a helper somewhere, ordained by God. Anywhere at all where there is a need, I tell you, there is a helper. I pray from today, you will not struggle to find helpers. You will not struggle to find helpers. Help us in ministry. Help us in business. Help us in your family. You will never be alone to struggle alone again. In the name of Jesus. May someone be interested in your matter. May someone be interested in your rising. May someone be interested in your shining. May someone be interested in your restoration. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for you. The days of speaking alone and not having anybody listen to you, because nobody takes your value seriously. Whether it's ministerial value, professional value, business value, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for you. By this grace that comes upon you now, everybody who needs what you carry, I gravitate them to your destiny. I gravitate them to your destiny. I gravitate them to your destiny. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, doth not wisdom cry? I'm praying for you. The era of foolish decisions, trouble-making decisions, destiny-pegging decisions, by this impartation of wisdom, may you begin to make superior decisions. Superior decisions. Decisions, one decision that you will make, you will leap 5 years forward. 5 years forward. 5 years forward. In the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare favor. Whether you go out, whether you come in, whether you are in Nigeria, whether you are outside Nigeria, may that favor compel men to help you speedily. Compel men to help you speedily. Let me pray for your finances in the name that is above all names. I'm praying for you. May God do something in your life between now and the end of July that will change your finances. Honestly, if you have the faith to believe this, may God do something in your life. May God raise a man. May God bring an idea. May God make your proposal pass through. By any godly means, arise to a new financial status. Rise beyond the realm of begging. Rise beyond the realm of borrowing. I say it again, rise beyond the realm of begging. Rise beyond the realm of borrowing. You will lend to nations. in the name of Jesus Christ. May my God give you treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Let me pray for you. We're in a season where Satan seems to be cutting the life of people short. When people are just about to emerge to a new layer in ministry and destiny, they just die like that. I'm praying for you. In the name of Jesus, you shall not die. Receive it, or you shall not die. Not by sickness, not by accident, not by witchcraft, not by oppression. Anybody cooking up enchantment against you, let it backfire back to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say it again, anyone fraternizing with hell, that you must die this year, their evil returns back to them. Hallelujah. There are people here, look at me. Now, I'm not saying going abroad really means anything, but there are people, there is nothing in your life that has ever gone global. Not your products, not you. From your lineage, where you come from, nobody's head has ever been lifted to a global scale. At best, you are just recycled here. Let me push you by prophecy. In the name that is above all names, whatever has kept you down, for the name of Jesus and for being an effective witness, rise to a global scale. Rise to a global scale. In ministry, rise to a global scale. In business, rise to a global scale. May your products be global. May your services be global. In the name of Jesus. The giants that sit on every mountain and make sure people don't climb up to the mountain. Once you are at the valley, remain there. But once you want to climb up to the mountain, they say even your father did not climb there. Your mother did not climb there. I pray for someone again. In the name of Jesus, for the sake of his majesty, you will be a record breaker. For the sake of his majesty, you will be a record breaker. I release that grace upon you. Listen, God who took me from nowhere and by his mercy took me where I am today, I pray for you. May God announce your names to kings. Announce your name to governments. Announce your name to captains of industry. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that fights your influence, fights your relevance, by this grace, it dies here tonight. Hear me. Every man of God connected to this grace, every true son and daughter in ministry, I pray for you, for the sake of his majesty, rise to a global scale. May the nations demand your grace. May they honor Jesus in your life. I will multiply them, they will not be few. I will glorify them, they will not be small. I say it again, be multiplied. May you experience the glory of God. Now hear me. Hear me. We're wrapping up. My apologies for stretching you, but you'll be surprised what will happen to you. Listen, can I tell you the truth? Not everybody has been mandated to help you. Stop looking for everybody to help you. This is not how it works. And don't choose the person to help you by yourself. You will make a mistake. You will choose in the flesh. But you need one person. I can point strategic people who appeared in my life and brought years and added them to my life. I've seen my own. May you see your own. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Koinonia, go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Advance. Leap over walls. Run through a troop. In the name of Jesus Christ. By your reception of these manifold graces, I'm praying for you. Results you have not seen from January till July, begin to see them from this night. Results you have not seen from January till now, I say to you again, begin to see them from this night. Fearful results in ministry. Fearful results in business. Fearful results in family. Every negative cloud over your head that is driving good things, driving good people, making you see good as evil and evil as good, I decree and declare, let that cloud be lifted from off your head. Every demonic force manipulating your reasoning, always making you to get into trouble, making bad decisions, I cry unto God again in the name of Jesus. May your mind be under the influence of the Spirit of God. Superior destiny advancing decisions. Ministry advancing decisions. Finance multiplying decisions. Grace multiplying decisions. My final prayer for you tonight. It is not a sin to be celebrated. It is only when your heart is derailed through it. Some of you, nobody has ever clapped to say, Kai, I see the hand of God in your life. Let me pray for you. May my God do something between now and the end of the month that will bring strange celebrations to your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. I am a steward of the manifold grace of God. Say it again. I am a steward. I am a recipient of the manifold grace of God. I activate the graces by faith. They begin to speak in every area of my life. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Amen.
One more time. Back home, conscious of the fact that you have received this grace also. Go and write down these graces, pray them, connect scriptures to them, engage certain teachings that are connected to those graces, and I assure you by God, you will marvel and wonder at the kinds of results that your life begins to produce. Have you been blessed tonight? You need to be born again. Let's keep standing. You need to make it right with Jesus right now. For your sake, we want to still stay back to make this altar call. It matters that you make it right with Jesus. Everyone who is here scattered within this auditorium, the balcony, the overflow, the many who are following online, it pays to serve Jesus. This is the starting point. He is the basis for our receiving any grace. Hallelujah. And I want to give you an opportunity to make it right tonight. Two calls in one. For the one who is saying, Apostle, while hearing you speak, all that the Holy Spirit was ministering in my mind is, you need Jesus. That was truly the Holy Spirit you heard. And number two, those who are saying, I need restoration. Even before prosperity, before all of these things, my spiritual life has gone down. I need to make it right with Jesus. I'm going to count 1 to 5. May I request that you pick your bags, your Bibles, and very quickly as I count 1 to 5. Don't be ashamed. Don't wait for anyone to be the first. Leave your seat and come stand here very quickly. 1. Let's honor them as they come. They are coming to Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for heeding to the call.
Koinonia, let's encourage them. Two, no matter how far you are, come. Connecting online, be prepared to make this prayer right now. It's a very important prayer. Keep clapping. Three, when I count five, we are ready to pray. If you are coming, please come very quickly. Young and old, male, female, rich, poor, come. Jesus is ready to receive any and everyone. Come. God bless you. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for winning this destiny war once and for all. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All those who are coming, please make it quick so that we'll pray. Those who are not able to make it, you can just move to the front of your LED screen. And then for those who are making this decision online, please online, you are part of us. So make sure that you stretch your hands and pray this prayer while I lead these people who are on site. It matters that we sort the issue of our eternal destiny and our connection with Jesus. My brothers and my sisters, thank you very much for coming. All of you who have come indicating your interest, it pays to make it right with Jesus. There are three things I taught you that we receive when we come to Jesus. One, the forgiveness of sin. Two, righteousness. And three, his life. Please lift your right hand high above your head if you can. Say this after me to the glory of God. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight and forever, I am a child of God. I go from glory to glory, grace to grace. Please keep your hands lifted. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for these precious ones and for the many who are connecting online from their homes, their offices, by whatever device they are using. The Bible says, as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. They have come. I pray in the name of Jesus, based on their profession, their confession, that their sins are hereby forgiven in Jesus' name. And I declare that they are bona fide recipients of the life of God, the grace to make progress spiritually, the grace to go forward, I release upon you in Jesus' name. And I decree and declare that the Holy Spirit begins a work in your life tonight that turns you all into signs and wonders to the glory of the name of the Lord. I declare that the power of sin is broken over your life in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Please do me a favor by looking to my right. That will be your left. There are counselors who are waving the placard. Would you do well to follow them? They will have a word and a prayer with you very quickly. And then you are back to your seat. Koinonia, let's honor them very quickly. Let's honor them very quickly. Let's honor them very quickly. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Keep clapping until they go. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your patience. Let's continue to pray for our conference. We are just days left. We'll take some time next week to pray before we finally leave to go and join the team there. Please pray for us and let's trust God for an extraordinary time. We know that God will bring glory to his name through all the conferences. And remember, it is all of us together by covenant going to do this for Jesus. And so please continue to pray. US we start with, and then we're in Canada, and then we're back by the Spirit of the living God. So let's continue to pour our hearts in prayer and trust God for US. I'm having two great people joining me, Pastor William McDowell and Pastor Nathaniel Bassi. It'll be an awesome time of worship and the word, and then Pastor Nat will be with me also in Canada. And so we thank God for this coming to support
what we are doing. May the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that everything you have received today, may it speak evidently in your life. As you return back home, it will be clear that you met God tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Together let's share the grace in fellowship, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercies follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and see you on Sunday.